Father, we just thank you. We thank you, first of all, for little Isaiah. Lord God, what a great family. We just love them dearly. And just bless them all over again and keep them all the days of their life, Father. And Father, for Pastor Greg, we lift him up to you this morning, just surrounding him with your love and your peace and your joy. And Lord, giving him the perfect words to say when he steps up to that podium, the perfect words from the gospel, meet every need, Lord, and save thousands tonight in Jesus' name, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for Amy, Lord, in the hospital there, that the heart attack, that she's going to make it just fine, be with Alfred, her husband, and Lord, for Ronald and Ron and Wynette. Oh, Father, just they need such care right now, just being with them. And we lift up Ed Townsend for the surgery and all the things that are happening, and so thankful that Gary is better and Harley is better, and all the rest of the people that we've been praying for. Now, Lord, help me this morning. Help me to teach your word faithfully and accurately. Help me to love your people, oh God. Help me to see you more clearly. Be so real in our midst right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We'll be in verse 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1. Let me read just a few verses, 4, I believe. That's going to be our text this morning. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray. Teach me to pray,' he's saying, 'as John also taught his disciples.' So Jesus said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And the church says, amen. You know, that verse, those four verses, are so familiar to us. And we know them so well. But this morning, I just only want to talk about this prayer. You know, as we look at this, we left off, you remember, with there at Bethany, with Martha and Mary. And the Lord taught us last week that, you know, we need to serve with the hands of Martha, but we are to listen in our prayer time. We're to listen as Mary did at the feet of Jesus. And that's so important today. And here in chapter 11, we're going to go from listening after we've prayed, listening to the Lord, to actual prayer. And then, the Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to go into persistent prayer. That before us was an incredible, absolutely marvelous petition. The disciples said, "I want you to teach me how to pray. I want you to teach me to pray like you pray." That's exactly what he was saying. And, you know, this morning I want to talk to you about praying the will of God. Praying the will of God. Now, we know this prayer as the Lord's Prayer. It's very close to being what it is in Matthew's Gospel, a little different. But it's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. It's the believer's prayer, and so forth. And I know that you're probably thinking in your heart, "Well, Bill, I know this by heart, and I know all about it," and so forth. Well, that's not the point. The point is this. Do you pray this prayer? Because so many people want to know, they come and say, "How do I begin praying? How do I even learn to pray?" Well, here Jesus is going to tell us. So let's look at praying the will of God this morning, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass as he was praying," meaning Jesus, okay, "in a certain place. And when he ceased," he stopped praying, he was praying in front of his disciples, "and one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" Did you notice that the nameless disciple here, he didn't say, "Lord, teach me to preach." He didn't say, "Lord, teach me to lay hands on the sick." He didn't say, "Lord, teach me to cast out demons," or any of those things, because they had already been given that authority. Amen? But isn't it amazing that nameless disciple sitting there listening to Jesus pray? He noticed that there was something so remarkably different. He knew that in his own heart, the disciple knew. He said to himself, "I'm not praying like that. I'm not praying that passionately. I'm not asking those petitions of God. And he was so impressed with our Lord's praying. He said, I want you to teach me to pray. Teach us all to pray, just like John taught his disciples to pray. Now, the thing that we need to see here is that when you look at John, remember John the Baptist, I mean, the forerunner of Christ, he was a miracle baby. He introduced Jesus to Israel, the Messiah. And of course, he ended up with his head up on a platter and all of that. He even baptized our Lord. But what Luke remembers him by here is that John the Baptist was a man of prayer. Now listen very carefully. The priority of prayer. Say that with me. The priority of prayer. Very major point here. Now, if John the Baptist, who had all of those credentials, and well, let's add one more. He was filled with the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb. Amen? If John the Baptist had all of those credentials, and he prayed, and if Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, never sinned, the Emmanuel, the Son of God, God with us, if he needed to pray, do you think that maybe we need to pray? Absolutely. So the priority of prayer. Man, we need to be people that pray to the Lord. I believe with all of my heart that man's highest activity is going to the throne of grace, meaning to go and pray. I mean, think of it. We actually get to go, and we may, well, of course we don't see it, but we know by faith it's there. Amen? We get to go to the throne of grace, the place of all mercy, the place of all help, and obtain those things, and we do so by prayer. And I say, oh, Lord, indeed, prayer is man's highest activity. And now listen, don't be religious on me this morning, but I don't want to show of hands, but how many people really prayed this morning? You know, you're not going to get a star, okay? But think about it. Did you say, well, Bill, this is Sunday, the day of rest. But having that quiet time, alone with the Lord, this is one of the few Sunday mornings that I did not have a lengthy quiet time. And I feel it. I was not alone with the Lord. I was up most of the night and, thinking and not praying. And, boy, I was just going, Lord, I didn't have the quiet time I normally have. I'm not, because I always want to listen. Matter of fact, I didn't even get to prepare this sermon until about late yesterday afternoon, which is very rare for me. I'm usually just polishing it up by then, but I had to prepare it last night late. And so I look at all this and I say, oh, we need to be people that pray. Listen, prayer is the ultimate test of a Christian's true spiritual condition. If we're not praying, there's a reason why. And I can promise you, it's not the Holy Spirit that's telling you not to pray. Amen? You know, John Wesley said this. John Wesley, he said, I hold a very poor view of a man or woman that doesn't pray at least 4 hours a day. Well, I don't do that. But let's just think this morning about praying for just 30 minutes, starting with a 30-minute window. Not that 30 minutes is a magic number, and not that it's the time that we pray. It's the quality of our prayers, right? Our time that we spend with the Lord. So we're going to move from the priority of prayer, because we know we must be people that pray, it's our highest activity, to the pattern of prayer that Jesus gives us here. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, sanctifying the name of God, setting the name of God apart, praising the name of God, adoring the names of God, and so forth. Now, I know you know this prayer, and I know that you've, just like me, we've memorized this since we were little children. We've known it all of our lives. As a matter of fact, I even used to have in the house a plaque that had the Lord's Prayer or the Believer's Prayer on it. So I know that you know it. I know that you know it by heart, but here's the question. Do you pray it? See, because if you're not praying the Lord's Prayer, and it's not a law, we're under grace, but see, Jesus just gave us an outline here for prayer. And that tells me that I don't have to go read 5,000 books on how to pray. Amen? All I have to do is take these few words, and Jesus is just saying, here it is, guys, and so forth. And he starts out very simply, and he says this, Our Father. You know, I'll never forget because I didn't really have a dad. I had a bio dad, if you know what I'm saying, but I didn't have a dad that really raised me and so forth. And I remember after coming to the Lord, and because I was grieved in my heart about not having a relationship with my father. And I'll never forget one day I was driving. And in the revelation, that's where, you know, it comes alive in your heart that, you know, even though I knew God was my father, I didn't have it here. Do you understand? And when I realized that I was not fatherless, when I realized that I have a father in heaven who loves me so much that he sent his only begotten son, when I realized how much God truly loves me, I'm telling you, a healing took place in my heart, in my life. I have never fretted over that ever again. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's why I'm saying, he says, when you pray, he says, listen, I want you to say, our Father in heaven. Isn't it amazing? Out of the old, out of the whole Bible, I think there's over, I know at least in the Old Testament, over 80 names for God. And you can look it up, and I don't know that maybe only one person or two, I'm not for sure about that, but I don't think that the Jews prayed like that to our Father. The reason I say that is because the only reason we can do that is by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, we're born from above. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, God has now adopted you, adopted me. We're sons and daughters of the living God, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit of Jesus himself coming and living in our hearts. So we can say, our Father. And it's interesting, out of all those names that I was telling you about, you know, so Jesus chose that one. You know, when you open up in prayer, especially if you'll pray this prayer, Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to do. Step one, just start adoring God. Start worshiping God the Father. And listen now, this is the springboard to prayer, okay? It's not a formula or anything like that. And listen, if you we're all guilty of charging into the throne of grace and never saying, good morning, Lord, or saying, I love you, or how's your day going? You know what I'm saying. We just barge in and we start, oh, God, this is what I need. Father, I need this and this. Are you guilty of that? Oh, three of you? I think I did that about 10 minutes ago. You know? No, listen. We're all guilty of that. So what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, I want you to change your focus. He's teaching us. Change your focus. Step one, I want you to worship and adore the Lord. Don't barge into heaven and the first thing you do is, I need this, I need that, I need this. God already knows what you need. But something happens to you in our prayer time when we just lift our hands or sit down in our chair or on our bed or on our knees, however the posture of prayer that you have. And say, oh God, I love you, Father, I adore you. And start thinking about all the benefits, all the names of God. And when you start doing that, something happens in your life. Remember, one of the names of God is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means Jehovah or God, our righteousness. Listen, we have the very righteousness of Christ, not imparted to us, but imputed to us. Think about that for a minute. When we go to God our Father and we say, oh, Jehovah Tsidkenu or God our righteousness, he sees us in Christ. He sees us as sinless. Amen? Even though that's our position, we know it's not our practice. And I say, oh God, you're so good. So you go through all the names of God. Jehovah Shalom, which means God is our peace. Jehovah Shammah, it means God is present with us. Jehovah Rohi, God is our shepherd. God is our healer. All these things, and you just are adoring and worshiping the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. Psalm 34, 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. How do you do that? Here it is. Let us exalt his name. Exalt the name of the Lord. And it says, David said, do it together. He goes on to say, he says, I sought the Lord, or I prayed to the Lord. He heard me. And he healed me of all my fears. Well, God, there's no limit to what God can do when we pray. So step one is to start praising the Lord and doing that. I hope you do that in the morning. I hope you take this outline that I'm giving you right now and implement it into your life. It is a springboard into prayer, into deeper prayer. It's the first baby step that you can take. Now let's look at the second one. The second one, we move from praise to priorities, okay? So get your priorities right. Now watch what it says. Your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. God's rule. And as a matter of fact, a very present expectation. Thy kingdom come. That means for God's rule in your life. Now remember, the purpose of prayer is it to get your will done? No, the purpose of prayer is for God's will to be done in our lives. You know, when I pray this prayer, I start praying over the church for God's will to be done in every person at Calvary Chapel, a blanket prayer, because I don't know everyone that attends here. You know that. I mean, I may know a face, but not a name. And I pray that. I pray, oh God, I want your will this morning. I want it in my workplace. I want it in my business. I want it for my children. I want it in my marriage. I want your perfect will. Listen, when you start praying that prayer, are you praying the perfect will of God? Yes. Now listen to me. You're praying the perfect will of God because Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray. It's not a formula. Man, if we look at this and I say, oh Lord, this is so wonderful. Your kingdom come. I want your rule in my heart today. Everywhere I go, I want it in my wife. I want it in my children. I want it in this nation and so forth. Can you imagine heaven and earth in agreement? Think about that. Heaven and earth agreeing. That's too much for me. How about the state of, no, that's the state of, can't do that either. How about Fort Worth? Think of a, no, that won't work either. How about your street? Think about that. To live on a street where everyone says, oh Lord, it's not my will. It's where my street comes in agreement with the will of heaven and they meet and say, Lord, it's only what I want in my life, and everything I do is just your perfect will. Something happens. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that everyone in heaven is obedient to God? Hello? There's no riots going on up there. There's no Ebola up there, okay? No, listen, our Father's will is carried out perfectly in heaven, and it's done instantly. It's only this fallen world that we live in right now that's in rebellion. No, the government doesn't want God. They want to change God's word. They want to do all these things. Listen, God is looking for a church, and we don't want to be prayerless. I fear that. And I say this with tender love, not to judge you or beat you up this morning, or anybody, the people that are listening live, not at all, but to provoke you. Listen, we don't want to be prayerless Christians. We have the greatest opportunity. We get to go to the throne of grace, like I said earlier, and we get to pray, oh God, help us. See, the Bible teaches us in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You know, think if just us, if we say, Lord, we want Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. We want thy will, your will, Lord, not my will, whatever you want me to do. You know, listen, let me ask you a question. Is it God's will for you to serve? Yes. Out of the mouth of babes, you know what I mean? Yes. Well, are we serving? Think, ask those questions to yourself. If we want to be in the will of God, then we have to know the word of God, because the word of God is the will of God. Amen? So, Lord, we want your will. We want your rule in our life. Now, let's move from priorities to the next one and look at provision in verse 3. It says, give us day by day. Our prayer would be year by year, right? It says, give us day by day our daily bread, meaning the physical needs that we need in our life, okay? So our Father has a schedule, and his schedule is to meet your need, my need, every day. Do you believe that? You know, we grow so impatient with God. We don't wait on the Lord. And I'll tell you, we miss it because God says, there was a door I opened for you, but you're not praying. You're not looking for it. You're not in tune with me. You're not intimate with me. We don't want to live like that. Amen? No. We want to pray the perfect will of God here. So Lord, here it is. Did you notice that Jesus said, use the word give? Lord, I need something. So Lord, I'm praying in my prayer time. I've worshiped. I've got my priorities right. Your will be done in my life. And Lord, what I'm really seeking now is the needs that I have. And you know what? Isn't it sad? And we're all guilty of this, that this is where most of us stay, isn't it? That's all we tell the Lord. We just constantly talk about the needs that we have. If we are a faithful people, we will say this, that when we know God and when we know God as our Father, that settles the matter of resources in our life. Because all the resources of heaven are available to us. Amen? I believe that. I know God is a provider. Jehovah Jireh, remember? God is our provider. His provision will be seen, in other words. God will manifest that to us. He's going to always take care of us. And, you know, we live in a country today, and I love America, and I don't want to live any place else. But, you know, we start looking at this great country and how blessed we are and all that we have. I mean, when's the last time you went to a supermarket and you couldn't buy any Fritos, huh? You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, go down the aisles of Kroger. I mean, you know, if you go there tonight, there's going to be food, right? Yeah, you go there tomorrow, there's going to be food. Go to Albertsons, same, there's going to be food. Loads of food. They're bringing in constantly. We're a very abundant nation. Thank God for that. But you know what America does? We use 5 million tons of grain to produce alcohol in this nation. Think about that. 5 million tons. Did you know that is enough to feed a country of 25 million people for 1 year? Think about that. And you know, and so forth. We're so blessed. But you know what I hear? Oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. No, I hear people saying, oh Lord, give me self-control. You know, Lord, I don't want to eat that much or whatever is going on. I don't want to spend that much. That's good teaching, isn't it? The main reason for famine in the world in many areas, and not the only reason, but one of the main reasons for famine or poverty in certain areas, it's not because of poor farming practices and, or you hear today, there's overpopulation and all those things. You know, the real truth is that when you go to a nation without Christian roots, that they don't worship the true and living God, there's usually a problem. Amen? I mean, you know, I can name a nation today that has 330 million gods, and some of them are animals. And you know, if you're going to worship a cow, that means you can't eat the beef. You understand? And that means you have to feed those things, and they worship. Listen, there's a problem there. Amen? And so it goes back on the person. I know with all my heart, God has promised that He will always provide whatever we need, and I believe that with all of my heart. Matthew 6:33, what did Jesus say? Seek ye first, that's priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, meaning what we wear, what we need, what we eat, our clothes, everything, all these things will be added unto you. Philippians 4:19, for God shall supply all of our needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All of our needs, not all of our greed, but all of our need. You know, I believe today in the American church, and I love the church, but listen to me now. I believe that many in the church, the reason that they don't have enough bread in this year of fruitfulness that we're in, is the reason we don't have enough bread is because we might be eating God's bread. Do you understand? In other words, we might be eating the tithe. And you know, the Bible teaches that the tithe is holy. It belongs unto God. What did God call the children of Israel when they started cheating Him, robbing from Him from the tithe? He called them God robbers. He said, you're robbing me. Malachi 3:9, what did God say to Israel? He said, you're cursed with a curse. Think of that. Because they weren't giving of the tithe. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. If you read that in the Hebrew, it would be, it's like the audacity. You've robbed me. What's your problem? It says, even this, the whole nation, meaning the whole nation of Israel. Now, that verse tells me something. God knows when we give. God knows what we give and God knows what we don't give. Amen? He sees all of those things. Listen to what he said now in Malachi 3:10. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And here's the only time God says to try me, prove me, test me. He says, test me or try me now on this. Okay, what do you want to test on? You bring all the tithes in and here's what God says he'll do. He says, If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such a blessing, that means no benefit withheld, that there will be not enough room to receive it. Now that's more than rain from above, loved one. This is a blessing without measure. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And you say, Bill, this was written to Israel. And yes, it was. And so are you trying to say that the church should be tithing? Well, no, what I'm trying to say is that you better read Matthew 23:23 and Hebrews chapter 7. You know, because I believe with all my heart the tithe came right through the cross. You know, the tithe was 400 years before the law was ever given. Amen? Now, I know that doesn't set well with some people, and I'm not trying to put you under the law, but I will say this. I often wonder where we could be, where God wants us to be, but we're not there because of the giving that's in the church today. Not just here, but everywhere. You know, when you only have maybe 3% of the people that tithe, would you think that's pretty rough? Yeah, that's pretty rough, isn't it? And so you think, God, help us here. What would happen if everyone, there's about 700 of us at Calvary Chapel, what would happen if every family really practiced tithing? Well, I'd have to sell my Lexus, have to sell my boat, have to sell my 3 vacation homes, and then I'd beat up the pastor. No, this side's very serious. No, listen, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. And I know that anytime money's ever mentioned in the church, and you know that I hardly ever do that, you don't even know that the offering's being taken, hardly. You know, people start squirming. They start hiding their checkbooks. And is he getting ready to take an offering? And, you know, you start, oh, I'm going to plug my ears up. No, don't do that. Listen, I believe in the tithe. My family, we have tithed all of our lives since we've been believers, and we give an offering every Sunday. I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but I'm telling you that's what we do. We believe in that, and I know it. I know we get on God's divine economy when that happens. And I know that when a person tithes, they are blessed. I'm not saying you're going to get rich. That's not in the Bible, you know, but there's nothing wrong with being rich. But I'm just saying that's not what it's, you don't give to get rich. You give because you're giving back to the Lord. It's like this. You know, if you have 100 pieces of candy, God gives you 100 pieces of candy, okay? How many pieces of candy do you give back to the Lord? 10. But sometimes we have those, and we say, well, Lord, can't you just make it off 2 pieces? Or here's a used one here. You know what I mean? You know, they offered those lame animals for sacrifice. They had defects. You know, it's like, here's half a candy. It's kind of used, but take it. No. Listen, I know that when people do that, they're blessed. And I know that God would open the windows of heaven. What would happen if we really did that? I mean, how many missionaries, how many more orphanages could we have? Think about that. It's only money. And, you know, whenever you give to God, he gives back. I don't know how it happens. He just does that. And you know, well, I don't really know, Bill, about this tithe thing. Are you trying to say the tithe is for today? Well, I tell you what I think. I think it's strange that out of all the people on all the planet, Christians have to be encouraged to give to God. Amen? Oh, I say, Lord, listen to what the Bible says about giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Paul said, I say this to you, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Do you believe the word of God? Well, listen, that is a staggering kingdom principle. So many Christians believe that generous giving is an absolute loss. Listen, there's only 2 types of provision for a believer, sparingly or bountifully, okay? That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, give and you'll never have another thing in your life. No, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the measure that you measure out or give, it'll be measured back to you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one, not just 3%, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Meaning that, you know, not out of guilt, not out of impulse, not because somebody stands up here and makes you feel terrible and all that. No, he says, don't give out of impulse. Don't give grudgingly or out of necessity. In other words, it grieves you to give. Why? For God loves a what? Cheerful giver. The word cheerful means hilarious. You know what I love about Pastor Chuck? You know, of course, you know, October 3rd just passed. He's been gone a year now. It's hard to believe it's been a year, isn't it? What I love about Pastor Chuck, when he would teach this verse, he would say, listen, if you can't give to God with a cheerful heart, keep it. Don't, he said, God doesn't bless that. Well, here, take that $10. Take that, I have three ones, and there's a few hundreds, but three ones will do. And no, God says, no, don't do that. Listen, worshiping God with our tithes and offerings should be a joyous occasion. Amen. You know, yesterday I did my brother's funeral here, and he passed away this week. He had a massive heart attack. And, you know, we traveled together in the ministry for years and worked starting churches in the Philippines and other places before I started pastoring full time. And he was indeed an incredible giver to God. I mean, unbelievable. And I was told a story yesterday. I said we were in Dallas. I don't remember the name of the church. And we were kind of on the back row and my brother was sitting here and he leaned over and he called me Billy. He said, you know, he said, Billy. I said, yeah. He said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said to give this church $10,000. I immediately put my hands over the ear and went to the other pew. I said, I don't want you speaking to me. No, you understand? And I looked at him and I said, Wayne, you don't have $10,000. He said, I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I've got to give them $10,000. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to write a check. I said, you're going to write a hot check to this church? I said, you don't do that. I said, and so I'm starting to repent. Oh, God, forgive me for being with him. I don't know him. And please don't hold this against me in the day of judgment or whatever, you know. And he writes that check out. I watch him, $10,000. I'm going, you are, oh God, my brother, the cheese has slipped off the cracker forever. You know what I mean? We walk out and 2 days later, over $10,000 had been given to the ministry to pay for that. In 2 days. That's the way he lived. That's the way he operated. Listen, when you obey God, something happens. I know that God is always going to provide. I've seen times when LNFI has been down and I would go, Lord, when you get down, there's only $100 in the account and you've got 38 people on your payroll. You understand? You are 30 or whatever it is. You go, oh God, you know, there's a little bit of money that's needed. He has never in 9 years, never let us down. Never. And he will never let us down. We should have already built the new sanctuary, folks. Amen. Yes, we need to do those things. And we need to just think of the things that we could do for the Lord. It only takes a little bit of money. You know, and I know you're saying, can you get off this point, Bill? We're talking about prayer now. Well, I'm talking about our daily needs. And you need to be in on God's divine economy. Amen. All right. Let's move now from our provision to the next step in our prayer time to people, where we examine our personal relationships. It says, and forgive us our sins. Sin, what an enemy it is. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus was our substitute for sin. Amen. That he took away our sin. And I say, oh Lord, every day when I pray, I say, Father, forgive me. If I've sinned by word, you hear me say that at communion. Lord, if I've sinned by word, deed, thought, action, if I've grieved, quenched, vexed, saddened the Holy Spirit in any way, oh God, forgive me. You see, sin breaks fellowship with God, doesn't it? But it doesn't break sonship. It doesn't break daughtership, but it breaks fellowship with the Lord. And so we can go to him in the morning and say, Father, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me all away, O Lord, all these sins. And we also forgive or release everyone who is indebted to us. Whenever I'm praying this prayer, I always say, after if I know that I've been, whatever, you know, was mad at the guy that's tried to run me over on 820 or something, you know what I mean, silly things and just whatever, I always say to the Holy Spirit, I say, Holy Spirit, please reveal any sin in my life. Any sin, Lord. Because I want to be quick to repent. I want to get it under the blood of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The Lord said, this is how I want you to pray. Are you praying the perfect will of God when you say, forgive us our sin? Yes, that's what the Lord wants. He wants to get that junk out of your life and wash it away so you continue to have fellowship that day or that evening or that whatever it is with the Lord. So he says, oh, forgive us our sins. And we just forgive those who've sinned against us or indebted unto us. So we need to be quick to repent, but there's also something else. And I was talking to a pastor at the funeral yesterday and who's been a pastor for over 50 years, pastors a large church here that was at the funeral, and he was talking to me about the season that we're in. He said, I've never seen it like this. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, where Christians attack other Christians with Facebook and all the rest of this stuff. And I said, it's an epidemic, isn't it? He said, it is. It's so sinful. And so we need to be not only quick to repent like that, but we must be quick to forgive. And I mean, we have to, when people are against us, it's like, Lord, I forgive them. That's why it says to release them to the Lord. Give them over to the Lord. You know, we need to remember something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not, I pardon you. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness, and matter of fact, you know, so many people say, well, Bill, I don't feel like I can forgive them, or it's not in me. I don't feel it. I want to feel it. Well, forgiveness is not an emotion, is it? That's right. We need to remember that. Forgiveness, loved one, it's an act of our own will. It's where we say, I choose to be obedient unto the Lord. And so no matter when I'm in my prayer time and I say, Lord, yes, I received that horrible email about a radio listener, or I got a letter in the mail and they didn't sign their name or address. And I just say, Lord, smite them. No. I say, Lord, listen, there they are. I don't know who they are. This is their letter. These are their words. These are their email. This is the person. Lord, I want to be obedient. I'm in my prayer time. And Father, here they are. Take them. I just release them unto you. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. And listen carefully. And his glory is to overlook a transgression. You know, we need to be people of grace, unmerited favor. Have we sinned? Okay. And we're not perfect, believe me. And you know what? There's others, they can sin against us, but you know, we just need to realize that we don't fight against flesh and blood, okay? And just say, Lord, there they are. So we go from people now to the next area of our prayer time, and that is our protection, where Jesus says, and do not lead us into what? Temptation. In other words, don't bring us into the hour of trial, or don't let us be led into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's the devil. When you pray this prayer, you're praying the will of God for your life. Think about that. What wisdom is that? That's incredible wisdom. How many of you wake up every day and when in your prayer time, you go, Lord, please, I don't want any temptation today. You know you're going to be tempted in this world. But God, you know, Jesus said, no, pray that you're not led into it. Pray. What wisdom is that? I mean, I start thinking about that. Oh, Lord, that is perfect divine wisdom. What a prayer. Don't let me be led into any area that would tempt me to go, do anything you would not want me to do. Amen? Oh, and I think, oh, God, you're so wonderful. Deliver us from evil. That teaches us that only God can deliver us from evil. Did you know that? See, you can't deliver yourself from evil. You do it by the power of another, the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And you know what we need to do when we're tempted? We need to remember that there's an open door waiting for you. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now listen, It is when I'm in this prayer time here, when I start praying, oh Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Here's what I do. I'm not saying you need to do it, but here's what I do. I start immediately putting on in my prayer time every morning. I put on the armor of God. Amen. I go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I go right down and I start putting on the armor of God. Because when you put on the armor of God, who are you putting on? Jesus, you're putting on Christ. And so every morning as I'm praying this prayer in my quiet time, worshiping the Lord, and I get to this and I just start thinking about that and I start visualizing, and I'm not saying for you to practice some visualization or meditation or any of that. I'm saying for me, I literally reach down and I gird up the loins, but put on the belt of truth. Amen. The girdle of truth. See, the truth is what holds all the other parts together. And I say, Lord, oh, thy word is truth. Oh, God, help me today to walk in your truth. I gird the loins. I gird up myself with your truth. And then I reach over and I put on that breastplate of righteousness. Think about that. Listen, the breastplate of righteousness. When the devil, when the wicked one sees you, what does he see? The righteousness of Christ, the sinless nature of Christ, the spotless record of Christ that belongs to you. And there he sees that. And then after I put on the breastplate of righteousness, then I put on my shoes. I shod myself with the gospel of peace. And then the big one that's so important. Then I lean over in my prayer time and I'm seeing it in my heart. And I just take up the shield of what? Faith, by which I'm able to quench all, every one of them, all the fiery darts, all the temptations of the day, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then I reach over and I put on the helmet of salvation, protecting my mind, saying, Lord, I want my mind to be renewed to your word. Oh, Lord, I just put on that helmet of salvation and I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the living word of God, the sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know what? Here's the thing, loved one. That's where people stop. And that's where they make a mistake. They get to the last piece. They think that's the last piece of armor, but it's not the last piece of armor. If we read, let me just read it to you. The next piece of armor there that is so important is verse 18 of Ephesians 6, where it says, praying always. Praying. We're talking about prayer. Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. And then it tells us how. In the Spirit or by the Holy Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Listen, prayer is part of the armor of God. Amen? That's so important to know that. And as we're praying there, you know, the power of prayer in the Spirit. Remember in Ephesians 5:18, there's a lot of certain denominations and certain Christians, they have a fear of the Spirit or something. You know, did you know that Ephesians 5:18 is a command? It's not an option. It's not a suggestion for a New Testament believer. And it says, be ye being filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean a one-time filling. It means for, Lord, fill me. If it's a commandment and God's commandments are our enablements, then he can do it. Amen. Lord, fill me this day. Overflow me with your Spirit. I need your Spirit. So the power of prayer is done by the Spirit. It says in Jude 20, it says, beloved, building yourselves upon your most holy faith. Remember the shield of faith. That's part of our armor. Praying, tells us how, in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26, one you know very well. It says, Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, helps us, comes to our aid in difficult circumstances, helps us in our weakness. That's not talking so much about our physical weakness, but our spiritual weakness, okay? Why? We need power to pray. And he says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and then he tells us why. For we do not know how we ought to pray. I'm going to stop right there. Now listen, when you finish the prayer, the steps in your prayer time, okay, you've already been praying about 30 minutes. Are you listening? Now, when we get to put on that last piece of armor, which is prayer, that all of a sudden you launch out into deep prayer. That's when, like I told the first service, that's when you're praying. You've already prayed. You've been praying for probably about 30 minutes by now. Not that time means anything, but you've been praying. You're developing an intimacy with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord. Now listen, when you do that, all of a sudden, sometimes, not every time, but faces will just come up from people in the church. You may not even know them, but you know their faces, and you don't know why, but you're praying a specific thing for them. Now, why is that? Who's helping you do that? The Holy Spirit. See, now you're launched out the springboard into prayer. Now you're launching out into deep prayer. God may bring a nation up to you. He does that to me often. A nation, I'll start praying over that nation. Even saying, Lord, let the blood of Jesus be over that nation, over that city, over that country, over that person, over the people that are being attacked, the Christians that are being attacked by ISIS and so forth. And all those things. So it's the Holy Spirit that helps us because we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us, literally through us, with groans that we cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. And here's how he does it. According to the will of God. Listen, true prayer is always prayer in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the prayer that the Spirit directs and inspires. See, when you pray in the Spirit, you're developing an intimacy where he prays through you, and it's just you're letting him use you. Remember, you've heard me over all the years. Do you practice awareness? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is not only in you, not only upon you, but he is alongside of you? He's here. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a language. He's not an it. He's not a force. No, he's a person. He's God. You see, I'm never alone. I have the greatest helper. You have the greatest helper, comforter in all of the universe. Amen. Not only living in you, but he's alongside of us all the entire time. And I think, oh God, you are so good to help us like this, to where we can turn to you knowing that I don't know how to pray at times and you help me to pray. Now listen, fact, you've heard me say this, I know 1,000 times. The power of prayer, matter of fact, Ian Bounds said it, but I've said it so often in my life, I claim it as my own, okay? But the power of prayer is not in the one who prays it, but in the one who hears it. Listen, God hears your prayer. And when you, listen, again, when you are praying the Lord's Prayer, are you praying the perfect will of God? Yes, he's hearing you. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Here it is. His ears are open to their prayers. You know why so many of us don't have what we need? James tells us in James 4:2, it says you have not because you ask not. You're not praying and so forth. Here's what I've learned about prayer. Not that I'm some big prayer warrior or I have anything going for me more than you have going for you. No. We have the same Holy Spirit, the same Father, and same Savior. Amen. But I've learned that how vital prayer is. I almost didn't do my brother's funeral because he just nearly killed me to do it. Even an hour before I came and took this pulpit, I was just trembling inside. But the moment that I got up out of my chair, I had a peace. Listen, it's not here right now, but I wish I had it. It was a peace that passed understanding. Amen. The joy of the Lord just filled my heart. I felt so at peace with everything I was doing. I'm so thankful for prayer. Amen. But listen, prayer is not an experiment. Well, I think I'll try to pray for this or try to pray for that. No, no, no. Here's what you need to know right now. And put it into your heart. See, we can have assurance when we pray. We can have the assurance that God hears us and that God will answer us. Amen. I want to close, but I want to close by turning to 1 John in the Bible there toward the end, 1 John. And I want you to look at chapter 5 with me. 1 John chapter 5. And go to verse 14. Now look what John says.
Can you call Gilbert Hernandez? His wife's water broke. He's in the children's church.
What's his name?
Gilbert Hernandez.
Gilbert Hernandez? Are you here? Gilbert? Your wife's water just broke. We love you, brother. Hallelujah, huh? Oh, now that's it. You never know what's going to happen in church. You know, this is an exciting place. And we are a fruitful bunch, I tell you. Yes, we are. Now, where were we? Wasn't that cool? Yeah, that's, you know, that's, we're being recorded live. You know, like they'll have that. We'll send it to them, huh? Why don't we pray for them? We'll get back to our text. Father, I thank you right now for them. Lord, get to the hospital perfectly on time. No traffic, no delays, no nothing. Lord, and let it be a perfect delivery and just be with them and now in such a mighty way and bless them. And thank you for this new baby that's coming into this world in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Now, prayer is not an experiment. Do you think God heard that prayer? Yes, he heard it. That little baby belongs to him. Yes. So listen, 1 John 5:14. Okay. All right. Look at this now. Now this is the what? Confidence. This is the courage. This is the boldness. This is the certainty. This is, I'd like to translate it, the fearless trust that we have. This is the fearless trust that we have in him, God, our Father, in Christ, that if we ask what? Anything. Boy, is that a big word? That's a huge word. This is the word of God. I didn't make this up. I'm not reading something I put in there. It says, if we ask anything according to his will. I'm talking about praying the will of God this morning. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now listen to me. Prayer that is according to the will of God is always heard by God our Father. Amen? Okay, that's exactly what the text says. So we can be certain that when we pray anything that's within the will of God, he hears us. He hears our prayer. The only limitation to prayer is God's will. That's it. And I say, oh, Lord, what a scripture. Now, watch this. And if we know, if we have that assurance, if we truly believe this, if we know that God our Father, that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know, there again, we have the assurance that we what? We have the request or the petitions that we've asked of him, talking about when we ask the will of God, in the will of God. Well, the word of God, loved one, again, is the will of God. You can say, you think God's going to provide my needs? Well, of course he's going to provide your needs. He promised that, amen? So when you pray for that, oh, Lord, you know, this is what I'm needing. Now, he may give you something else. Now, if you're going to pray for Alexis, he may give you a Lincoln. I'm just joking. You know what I'm saying, folks. And I'm going, oh, God, this is so good. We can have that confidence because hearing equals having when it's according to God's will. And I say, oh Lord, there's no one like you. And the emphasis here is not on not having. The emphasis in our text is having. Listen, I pray, on my prayer time, I have a list of people that I pray for, and I added one this morning. And, I don't stop praying. Do you know that I have people that are on my list over 10 years? And I haven't stopped. You say, because a lot of you say, well, Bill, you know, I prayed that this is supposed to be the will of God. It didn't happen in my life. Well, why are you giving up? That's why we're going to get into persistent prayer next Sunday. You know, why are you giving up? Why are you stopping? I have people that I pray for every morning, especially this one couple. I pray every morning, Lord, I want your perfect will for their life. Lord, whatever your perfect will is. I've been praying that for 10 years. And I'm not going to stop. Why? Because here's what I know. God heard me because I know that what I prayed was the will of God. You hear me? Here's the deal. Some of you are saying, well, Lord, I prayed and it's just not happening. Okay. It's still at the throne of grace. Why don't you believe that it's going to be manifested into the supernatural? I mean, into the natural. Okay. From the supernatural to the natural. Don't give up. Don't ever give up praying. Don't ever, ever stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Don't ever stop praying. Be men and women that pray. In the morning when you wake up, take this outline and launch out into the baby step of prayer. And because Jesus, that's the perfect will of God right there. There it is. That's how to pray. Those are the things to pray for. And then once you've done that, then go on out and say, Lord, just fill me with your spirit. However you choose right now, bring things to my remembrance. Who do you want me to pray for? What other things do you need me to pray for? Get quiet before the Lord. Listen to him. Sit at the feet of Jesus. We must be a people of prayer. That's why there's no revival in our nation. And that's why our nation is falling apart, because Christians are prayerless. We must stop that. As I said earlier, if you are prayerless, it's not the Holy Spirit that has quenched you or stopped you from praying. It's our flesh. If you'll do this, step out and start doing this. It's a discipline, but it turns to a delight. And you'll start seeing God moving. Because you're being intimate with God, your Father. You're being intimate with the Holy Spirit of God. And you're starting to worship the right way, in the correct manner. You know, God wants to be worshiped his way, not our way. Very, very important. Father, we thank you this morning. Because there's no one like you. And we worship and adore you, oh God, we love you. And once again, Lord, we lift up the couple that the water broke, just being with them, oh God. We lift up great glory, surround him with the angels of God. Oh Lord, let hundreds and thousands of people be saved tonight. Lord, let American Airlines be filled with your glory. May Jesus be glorified in that place like never before, and may a revival break out from this night. Lord, if there's anyone here, they've never asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord, I pray that when the service is ended here, after we sing our song, oh God, I pray that they will come to this altar and pray with one of the workers here, one of the servants, and ask Christ to come into their heart. Again, Lord, bless that little baby Isaiah. Bless them. Bless their family that's here today. Let it be a wonderful celebration. And Lord, we praise you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Now, let me ask you a question before you run out of here. You know, I know you're all going to run to tithe, I can tell. Don't write any hot checks, though, all right? The Lord, from the Word of God, just taught us how to pray, didn't he? Will you? That's the key. Will you? That's what's needed. I pray you have a great week. I pray that the Lord bless you in your prayer time. I pray that he strengthens you in all wisdom and understanding of his great love that he has for each and every one of us. I pray that you know that by the blood of Jesus, you're always welcome at the throne of grace, a place where you can find all the mercy you need, all the help you need when you need it. There's no one like our God. I love you with all my heart, and I pray if you have needs this morning that you know that after we sing, there'll be people here. They'll love on you and pray with you and stand with you. Amen. Let's sing to the Lord.